If we're attentive year to year, we'll notice a pattern about the readings. Certain Sundays have a certain theme to them. And this is one of those Sundays. The fourth Sunday of Easter, the gospel is always about Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. This, in a sense, could be called Good Shepherd Sunday. The fourth Sunday, just like the second Sunday of Easter, always has the gospel of Thomas. But in the fourth Sunday, always has a gospel about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And that was an image of Jesus Christ that was particularly appreciated in the early church. You know, it's really many centuries until we have a very clear depiction, for example, in art, of the crucifixion. Crucifixion was just too sort of visceral of a reality for the early Christians. I mean, that was the way many early Christians ended up dying, you know. But the image that the early Christians probably turned to more than any other of Jesus Christ was of the Good Shepherd. Some of the very earliest depictions we have in art, like for example in the catacombs, are of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And that is an image to us of the same image, actually the same reality, as what's revealed to us in the cross, really. It's an image of sacrificial love. The shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. This love that is sacrificial, essentially. And that is something that is very, very important for us to see and to know and to experience, because that's what true love is. As a matter of fact, love and sacrifice, I would almost propose to you, are practically synonyms, really. And a love that is not sacrificial is not love. It's sentimentality or something like that, but it's not love. And this is the love that we need to see and experience. This love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Good Shepherd who knows his sheep and cares for them. There are examples of this. It's very providential, for example, that this Good Shepherd Sunday also happens to fall on what is in our sort of civil calendar, Mother's Day. Again, a mother's love is a wonderful human example of that for us. The love of our mother, a mother who really sacrifices of herself that we might have life. You know, and so it's a wonderful example of this sort of love, this sacrificial love. And we honor our mothers today for that beautiful sacrificial love that they have shared in giving us life. I've been struck, though, recently also by other examples, perhaps more disturbing examples, so I apologize in advance about this, but it's a sad commentary on our culture that things like school shootings have become rather so common that maybe we don't really focus in on them that much. But for some reason, this one that happened in this past week in Colorado kind of broke through to me in a way that some of the others haven't. Although a similar thing happened at the other very recent one in Charlotte, North Carolina as well. But there was a young man in that classroom. I understand he was 3 days away from graduating from high school, who went as soon as he realized what this shooter was about to do, along with a few of his other classmates, charged the shooter and took him down. So that I think they were the only ones who were actually injured. And of course, this one young man, fatally. One of the things that struck broke through to me about him too is because in this young man's case, he was obviously motivated by his Christian faith. His Catholic faith, actually. His name was Kendrick Castillo. had, I think, attended Catholic school before he went to high school. Literally giving his life so that others might live. You know, Jesus Christ has something to say about that. He said, there is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That, of course, is what Jesus did. That is what this young man did. And it's interesting to me in this particular case, in reflecting on this, it's the exact opposite of what the shooter was doing, who was inflicting his hatred and misery as pain and suffering onto others. Whereas this young man, in his love, was saving others from death and from suffering. It's the exact opposite. It's so interesting to see how two young people, very similarly situated, could act with absolutely opposite motivations. One to inflict harm out of hatred, the other to protect and give life out of sacrificial love. And so it's really not so much the external circumstances that make that much difference. It's what's going on the inside. That's what makes a difference. And that's why it's so important for us to come and be formed by the Good Shepherd, to be nourished by his flesh and strengthened by his blood, so that we are transformed to be agents of his divine mercy in the world, to be ones who absorb the hatred of the world for the life of the world. That's what Christians are called to do, in imitation of the Good Shepherd himself. It's this mystery of mercy that triumphs over hatred. It is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is also the message of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. It is what we as Christians need to do. And so we have to be inwardly transformed. And it's why it's so important for us to put to death within us any of those, that residue of the old sinful self. And some of the sins, frankly, that are not particularly flashy, but are more dangerous, really, if we allow them to fester in our heart. And we live in a culture that encourages this. Envy. Very, very dangerous sin. Envy. Anger. We live in a culture that practically promotes anger, you know? Thinks everybody ought to be going around being angry all the time. Very, very dangerous. It transforms our interior life. It actually kills our interior life. What we have to constantly be doing is growing in the love of Jesus Christ by accepting his mercy and showing his mercy, being transformed by love and forgiveness and patience and kindness, to let all of these things be the hallmark of our lives, so that there is a heroic love within us. That heroic love that we see in Jesus Christ. That heroic love that we have received from our mothers. That heroic love that we see in the lives of this young Christian this last week. We have to be transformed interiorly. And that's why it's so important that we are here. That's why it's so important to come to confession frequently. It's why it's so important to pray every day. to let the love and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, flood into your heart. Every time you come to the Lord Jesus in one of the sacraments, every time you pray, Jesus will help you. If you need his help, pray. Sometimes we hear people say, oh, well, all I could do now is pray. Well, that's the first thing we ought to do, actually. That's where the most substantial help there is. That's where we come in contact with mercy itself. And mercy, you know, in the revelations of St. Faustina, you know, she, and in other places too, we hear mercy described as a vast ocean. That all the sins of the world combined are but a single grain of sand. Maybe even less significant than that. And that is the answer to the sorrows and suffering and evil that is encountered in this world. Is the mystery of the mercy of God. The mystery of the divine Savior. The mystery of the Good Shepherd, who does not eliminate it, but gives us the means to triumph over it. And this should give us all great hope and great joy. That what, for example, was meant for evil in that classroom has turned in to a triumph of sacrificial love, a great triumph, a great victory. What was meant for evil by nailing Jesus to the cross was turned to universal good. From that blood pouring forth onto the world from his pierced heart that gives life to the world. And so today, let us rejoice when we are called upon to sacrifice. Because that means we're called upon to love. And let us honor those who have taken up that call to sacrificial love. Again, how appropriate that we honor mothers on this day. That place where we first encounter on the human level the reality of true love. Love that is literally a giving of the self. And realize that in all the sorrows of this world, and there are many, love wins.